There's maybe two kind of very dramatic realities in this gospel this morning. And the first one addresses a very modern and contemporary issue that we have. And that is that Jesus appears, first of all, the disciples who had been on the road to Emmaus hurry back to Jerusalem to tell the other apostles what in the world has happened and how they had encountered Jesus and recognized him. And while they're telling the story, Jesus is in the midst of them. And they are astounded and afraid because they think they are seeing a ghost. And Jesus says to them, "I'm not a ghost. I have flesh and bones. Give me something to eat." And he ate it. And this is one of the fundamental issues of Christianity, especially today. That Jesus, when he rises from the dead and descends into heaven, is not a ghost. He is not pure spirit. And so, in a way, we constantly have to encounter him as other than ourselves. It is very, very popular in today's world to say about, you know, "I don't believe in any organized religion, but I'm a spiritual person." Well, there's a subtext most of the time in that. And that subtext is, I am not about to believe anything anybody else tells me to believe or witnesses to. My religion is going to be of my own making. And when, in fact, we worship a God who is pure spirit, eventually that spirit in our minds looks an awful lot like ourselves. The idea of organized religion comes out in this gospel. Jesus is not a ghost. He is here, he is real. He is other than we are, while being within us and among us. And part of real faith and real religion is that we encounter him as the person that he came to us being, and that is the incarnate Lord. It is in the very depth and the very essence of Catholicism that we believe in the continuing incarnational presence of Jesus in the world. We believe that he is here in the voices of those who testify to us. We believe that he is here in the sacramental signs, which are material and which are part of our world. We believe especially that he is here in the bread and the wine of the Eucharist. He is not a ghost. He is among us, and he is real. And the second thing that the gospel deals with is equally important. Jesus tells them he's going to explain the scriptures to them. He does that on the road to Emmaus as well. What are the scriptures for Jesus? They are the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures. And yet he says in those scriptures, it says that the Christ would suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name. Find a citation in the Old Testament where it says exactly that. And because we can't, it tells us something about the nature of God's communication with us. He does not communicate with us in arbitrary bullet points or compromising language. The divine narrative that has been with humanity from the very beginning is a narrative that reveals to us through the words of Moses and the prophets and the psalmists the ultimate and inner truth of God's presence among us. If we go back to the Holy Week liturgies, which we have just gone through, after that, I had someone ask me, why, if Jesus is risen from the dead, do we have to bother ourselves with the Old Testament, so many Old Testament readings? Because Jesus says, in them is the mystery of God's presence among his people. Because it is there that you take that exploration, that journey, into the conversation with the divine, which challenges us to come beyond ourselves and seek out the mysteries of the divine articulation of reality. Jesus is able to point them out. Holy Week liturgy points some of them out too. The suffering servant of Isaiah. We find that, certainly. We find the call for the repentance for the forgiveness of sin. We find all sorts of things about the sacrificial offerings of humanity to the living God. The narrative and the rituals of the Old Testament contain deep within them the mystery of the new. The apostles, who were familiar with the Old Testament, were the ones who were able in some way to grasp who Jesus was and what he was talking about. Those who followed him were the ones that were and have encountered the mysterious divine narrative of God with his people throughout the millennia. Those who did not accept him, recognize him, or know him were the ones who saw the word of God as a flat surface, a flat word on a flat page, having no dimensionality to it, having no depth to it. It's like much of our political conversation today. It's flat and meaningless and shallow. When we look at the scriptures, if we look at it that way, the question's legitimate. Why should we bother with it? But when we understand this is God narrating reality to us, which we cannot simply grasp, but must investigate and explore and reflect upon, his word is an invitation to relationship. His word is an invitation to exploration and discovery about the very fundamental meaning of life, of existence, of the whole world. And so in this short gospel today, Jesus comes to us not only in spirit, but also in flesh. And he introduces us into that long and strange relationship of a conversation between God and ourselves that invites wonder, exploration, reflection, acceptance. It is religion, in a sense, because it is not us. It is religion, in a sense, because I have to go outside of myself to encounter meaning in my world. And so, for us as Catholics, this is a critical gospel. It is a gospel about the nature of Christ's presence to us, and a gospel about the nature of God's narrative that we are privileged to receive about the realities and the foundation of everything that is, and everything that will be, and everything that has been. He is, in his own way, walking us through and speaking us through the entire journey of our personal lives and the life of all people, of humanity itself.